chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We are in our third week of spiritual journey together, learning to let go of these emotional weights that we carry and learning how to pick up the life that Jesus has called us to, which he says is light and easy. How many of you think life is easy? Probably not very many. But if you remember, we started by saying that an invitation has been given to us to exchange bags, that Jesus wants us to exchange grief for comfort and doubt for faith and fear for courage, discontentment for contentment in our lives, guilt for forgiveness. That he wants us to exchange the bags that we carry for the lighter bags that he offers to us. And when Jesus offers us this, really what he's offering is freedom, isn't it? It's freedom. A lighter load. A better way of doing life. And when we take up this offer, we take up his offer, I should say, when we surrender to him and we unload the guilt and the worry or the fear that we have, whatever it is that's weighing us down in life, we will experience a freshness in our lives. And we can walk through this life with a whole lot more enjoyment and a whole lot more peace. And I say yes and amen to that. How about you? We can. Now, last week we addressed how most, if not all of us, somebody's not happy, carry around a heavy weight of guilt and shame every day. We are bogged down by failures. And with this bravado, we swear to Jesus, don't we, that we'll never do it again. And we know it's wrong, but we're never going to go back to that thing again. And then what do? We find ourselves hiding from God. We find ourselves ashamed because we did what we said we wouldn't do again. We went right back to it. But as we saw from Peter's experience with Jesus, that he was given an invitation, wasn't he? Those of you that were here, Jesus invited him to come to the shore. And so were we. We are given an invitation. We are invited to come back into this relationship with Jesus. We are invited to come out of the shadows and into the light. And I hope last week that many of you found yourself doing just that. That you found yourself coming out of the shadows and into the light. And you went to the Lord and you said, please forgive me. I've been living in shame. I've been hiding from you. And more than anything, Jesus wants to renew the relationship that he has initiated out of love, out of his grace. And the relationship, here's the thing about our relationship with God that we really need to remember is that the relationship that you and I have with Jesus began in love. It began in love, and it should continue in love. Amen? And so many of us have a shame-based relationship with God. It's shame-based. Or some of us have a fear-based relationship with God. All right, we're just like, oh my God, I'm afraid. God's gonna just like lightning strike and just fry me, right? We have this fear-based relationship with God, but what Jesus offers us is a relationship that's based on perfect love. Perfect love. Not shame, not guilt, not fear. It's perfect love. And perfect love casts out what? Casts out all fear. It does. So when we stumble on this path of life, he always waves us back to the shore, right? And he welcomes us back to free us from the guilt and the shame that we have in our lives. And these are the words that Jesus says to us every time we stumble, we fall. These are the words that he says to us every single time. Welcome back. I'm glad you're back. Let's continue the journey. I'm welcoming you back. And so more than anything, Jesus wants our hearts. True? That's what he wants. He wants our hearts. And so this morning, we're traveling down another segment on our journey. The problem for so many people isn't that they don't want to walk lighter in this life. The problem for so many people isn't that they don't want to be free of worry, that they don't want to be free of shame. The problem for most is that they've lost all hope. That a joy-filled, peace-filled, purposeful life with Jesus, that's for the other person. That's for her. That's for him. That's for them. It's not for me. This life that Jesus offers us, that's not for me. That's for the other person. I could never hope, this is the thought of so many people, I could never hope to have a vibrant, dynamic, spirited relationship with Jesus in this life. In this life. That's the thoughts of many. I could never hope to shake off the things that weigh me down. I don't know how to do it. It can't be done. There's no hope for me. And so we're going to find out how it is that we can move out, walk out, journey out of hopelessness. Amen? Let's pray. Ask God to prepare our hearts to receive from him. God, we pray that you would soften us again, that you would help us to see that the places that you lead us are good places. Help us to see, first of all, that you want to lead us, that it's your desire to lead us, and that you have compassion for us and want to lead us to places of blessing and health and growth in our lives. So God, I pray that your Spirit would once again come in a new way, in a fresh way, as we go down the road again together in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to put your imagination caps on. You can. Some of you may not be good at imagining, but if not, just imagine me imagining. Imagine yourself in a jungle, a dense, dark jungle, and somehow your friends convinced you that it was a once-in-a-lifetime trip. And for some reason, you said yes. And you paid for it, you crossed the ocean, you joined another group, you hired a guide, and now you find yourself exploring in an African jungle. Now imagine, if you will, that you're in the back of the group, right? Because you kind of hedged, you know, for a long time, and you waited the last second to say yes, and so now you're out of shape. You're not in shape for this trip. You're not in shape at all for this trip, and so you're in the back of the line. You're in the back of the group, and you pause on a rock to rest and to lace your boots up tighter, and you sit there for a moment, and you're just exhausted, and you just rest, and all of a sudden, when you look up, you don't see anyone. And you rush up to the path a little further, and you come to two separate paths, and there's one to the right, and there's the other path to the left, and you try not to panic, right? because you don't see anybody. And you decide to take a chance, and you go right. And you still don't see anybody. And now you're wondering if the others went to the left. Or did you go to the left? And they what? And now you have a problem, right? Now you are in the middle of a jungle, and you're alone, and you have a problem. Now you're panicking. Do you feel it? Anybody feel it? You're panicking. You're lost. Just say that. Just turn to somebody and say, you're lost. You're lost. And you're alone in a place that you weren't made for, right? I mean, like snakes and tigers and lions, no bears. Big spiders. And you are completely, you're getting it, aren't you? You're completely out of your element because you don't belong in the jungle. You weren't made for the jungle. And you feel fear. But along with fear, you feel something more than just fear. You feel your heart sinking, don't you? Because you are now experiencing hopelessness. Hopelessness. Before you were enjoying the moment, well, sort of, right? I mean, you were enjoying the moment. You're excited. It was exhilarating to be on this new adventure. You were with friends. You were seeing things you'd never seen before. And now you're sitting on a log and you're burying your face in your hands and you're thinking, I'll never get out of here. I've no direction. I've got no equipment. I've got no hope. No hope for ever getting out of this jungle. Can you imagine it? Can you sense for just one moment how it feels to be out of your element? Anybody? Sure you can. You know what it's like to be out of solutions, don't you? You know what it's like to be out of ideas. You know what it's like to be out of energy and out of passion in your life. You and I know what it's like to be out of vision for a better future for our lives. We know what that's like, don't we? You and I know what it's like to be out of hope. Just raise your hand. See, I know what it's like. And if we're honest today, we would have to admit that we have been in the place that Job found himself in. Listen to what he said in Job chapter 14. I think it'll be up here on the screen. Look, at least there's hope for a tree. Wow, that's pretty bad, right? You're in a bad place. You're in a really bad place if all you can say is, at least there's hope for a tree. Here's what he said. Verse 7, he said, at least there's hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump may die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. Oh, wow. There's a guy with no hope. None. At least there's hope for a tree. I love that. I mean, it's not really, not good, but, you know, kind of funny, actually. What's he saying? It's hopeless. But let me just make it more personal. Job was really saying, it's hopeless for me. For me. It's hopeless for me. At least everybody out there's got some hope. Shoot, at least the creation, they even has hope. But not me. It's hopeless for me. It's hopeless. Listen, for many, many people, life is like a jungle, isn't it? And you know, when I say many people, I mean you, right? And me. And our jungles are made up of thickets of failing health and broken hearts. Our jungles, your jungles, could be made up of an empty wallet. Our forests are framed with hospital walls or troubled marriages. We aren't hearing the sounds of birds and strange animal noises. We're hearing the complaints and the demands of our bosses, of our employer. We're hearing our creditors closing in on us like a predator, wanting what we owe them. For a lot of people, hope is in short supply, isn't it? It's in short supply. And you know, hopelessness is an odd bag, right? For one, hopelessness is an empty bag, right? You open it up, there's nothing in there, right? Nelda, is there anything in this bag besides the silicone gel thing that is always left in there? Okay, see anything in that pocket right there? How about this one right here? There's anything in there? How about the inside pocket? Reach your hand in there. All right, no, there's an inside. Yeah, no, there's no spiders. Just little ones. Yeah. All right, how about this? Well, we missed one right there. Open that up, see if there's anything in there. Anything in there? Nope. What would you say, call this bag?
Empty.
What?
Empty.
What is it?
Empty.
Hopelessness is an empty bag. The bag of hopelessness is painfully empty. But ironically, the emptiness creates a burden. It's one thing to feel the emotional weight of fear and the emotional weight of guilt, but this backpack right here, this one is unique. It's completely empty, but we can't shake it off of our backs. Hopelessness is hard to shake off of your back, off of your life. How many have found that to be true? If you're in a hopeless, you feel hopeless. It's hard. It's empty. It brings emptiness. It produces emptiness, but it's still a weight. It's still a burden. And it's still something you carry. And there are some key areas in our lives that seem to be jungle-like, aren't there? And we're all well aware of those areas in our lives. They're confusing sometimes. They're difficult to maneuver in our lives, and they can be pretty scary, right? Like relationships, right? We get in them, we expect bliss, and instead we get mess. I'm thinking of marriages. I'm thinking of friendships. Friendships can be this way too. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I say that or should I try this? Or is it going to make things worse if I do this? This is a lot harder than I thought. Don't you find that to be relationships? It's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. A lot of new couples, they get married, they find this out very quickly. This is a lot harder than I thought. This is way a lot harder than I thought. And so they say, I'm getting scratched up here. I got branches whipping me in the face. And I'm like, this is a jungle. Relationships. Anybody relate? One person. The rest of you are lying. Two. Job situations can be a jungle. We like to try something else, but there's not much out there to try. And so we find ourselves in what seems like what? A hopeless situation. Finances can be a jungle. Sometimes we can find ourselves deep in the forest of debt and we simply don't know how to get out. Things seem to be hopeless when it comes to our finances. Health. Our health can be scary, can it? Our health can be jungle-like. These are all places where we say, I'll never get out of here. I'll never get out of here. Things are hopeless. Hopelessness. Now, if we stayed there, this would be the most depressing message of all. But I promise you, we're not going to stay here in that place, all right? Let me ask you this morning. If you were lost in the jungle, for those of you that have a creative imagination, and others of you, just piggyback on the other guy next to you, all right? But if you were lost in the jungle, what would it take to restore hope to you? What do you need the most if you're lost in the jungle? Okay. What? Tarzan! Close. You need a rescuer. Huh? You need a rescuer. You need someone to rescue you. If you're lost in the jungle, what do you need? Some person to rescue you. King David understood that to be God. Over and over and over again in his life, he encountered God, the rescuer. If you would turn to Psalm 144, 144. The beginning of this psalm, David says this about God. He says, praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. He's my loving ally. He's my fortress. He's my tower of safety and my rescuer. He is my shield and I take refuge in him. Praise the Lord who's my rock. He trains my hands for war, gives my fingers skill for battle. Sometimes that's not enough, is it? He's my loving ally, my fortress, my tower of safety. He is my rescuer and my shield, and I will take refuge in him. Now, Max Lucado, he suggests three things that we need if we find ourselves in a dark jungle of hopelessness. Hopelessness. Right. It's a hard word. You feel like it should go on, but it doesn't. Hopelessness. The first thing that you need to get out of the hopeless jungle of your life, the first thing that you need is a person. Not just any person. You don't need someone who's equally confused. Right? You need someone who knows the way out. You see, this is the problem with so many. They turn to people who are lost as well. They've lost their way, they're hopeless, and so they turn to people who are equally as lost. And if you're lost, the last thing you need to do is turn to a company of people who are equally lost. That's not helpful. Then you just all get together, we're all lost. What are we going to do? You know what the Bible calls that company, that group? It calls them a company of fools. And often, we're in a hopeless situation, we're turning to the wrong people. And they'll tell you to try this or that, and their advice only ends you up more lost and deeper in the life's jungle. Has that ever happened to you in your life? You're in a bad way, you turn to someone, and they say, you know, they gave you some advice and you tried it. It was like, that was awful advice. That was terrible advice. Or they might share their hopeless journey with you, right? This is often what you know people do. They'll share their hopeless journey with you, and then you both end up sitting on a rock, commiserating and complaining about life and how hard it is to figure out. Because you turn to them, they don't know what they're doing. They're not very happy about their life either. So now you're just sitting there complaining. Boy, life sucks. Oh, man, I know. I know, none of you done that. But what David sings about, and really all the psalms are songs, you know that, right? All the psalms are songs to be sung. David sings about the hopeful message of the gospel here in Psalm 144. Because the good news of the scriptures, really from the beginning of the scripture to the end in Revelation, is that Jesus has come to be the only person who can help us out of the jungle of our sin and our despair and our hopelessness. He's our rescuer. He's the only one who can do it. He is the person. I'm way more excited than you are. Dial it up. Jesus is humanity's rescuer. And I want to pause just to say this pastorally to you. If you're looking to your spouse, or if you're looking to your friend, or your counselor, or your pastor to be your rescuer, you're not going to get out of the jungle of hopelessness. You need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Do you believe that? Because who's to say that I couldn't give you, who's to say I couldn't give you the wrong advice? It's possible. I probably have. I may have in the past 28 years give some people some wrong advice that didn't help them. We need Jesus to be our rescuer. So the first thing you need is you need a person. If you're in the jungle, if life seems hopeless, you need a person, and that person is Jesus. And the second thing you need to re-energize the journey through your life is you need vision. If you just turn back a page in Psalm 143, verse 9, David wrote another song, and he said, "Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." I love that psalm. You need a rescuer with vision. You need someone to lift your spirits. Someone to say to you, this isn't the end. Don't give up. There's a better place than the place that you're in. And I'll lead you there. That's what you need. That's what we need. And you can't see it. You can't see that place. But your rescuer can. Do you remember Jesus, he came to the earth saying, "I came that you might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly." In other words, I want to lead you into a more remarkable, more excellent life, a life full of joy and a life full of hope. And so we don't just need a person, we need Jesus, and Jesus has the vision for the way out. Now, thirdly, the most important thing that you and I need to walk out of the dark forest of hopelessness is direction. Gonna make sense, right? Direction. Again, I thought this was so good. Lucado, he writes this. He says, if you have a person who doesn't know the way, all you have is company. Think about that for just a minute. If you have a person who doesn't know the way, all you have is company. If your rescuer has a vision of a safe road but no direction, You just have a dreamer for company. But if you have a person with direction who can take you from the place you're in to a better place, then you have a rescuer. And you have someone who can restore your hope. What David saw in God was someone strong enough and wise enough to lead him, as he said, on level ground to a different place. And so I want to say to you, God majors in restoring our souls. God majors in leading us out. Just say to someone, this is probably a pretty good message. I don't know. Probably should listen. Now, I've never been lost. I've never been lost days on end in a forest. I don't intend to, because I probably wouldn't have said yes to my friends and went. But I can imagine that for the person who has gotten lost in a forest, everything changes when the rescuer appears. Everything changes. When your rescuer shows up, loneliness is eliminated. Because now you have fellowship. Now you have a person. Before, you're on the rocks talking to yourself. Right? Your despair decreases. Because now you have vision. You can envision a paved road. You can envision a rescue vehicle on the paved road that you can climb into. You can envision water to drink. You can envision sunshine warming your face, because you're deep in the forest. You're not getting a lot of sunshine, right? You can envision, more importantly, being held tightly to the ones that you love as they hug you and know that you are found and alive. And you don't have to reel from confusion anymore, because your rescuer knows the direction out. And this is so true. We preach about it all the time. Jesus is our rescuer. He came to rescue us from our lostness caused by sin and to lead us to a bright future, which is heaven. We believe that. Do you believe that? We believe that. We've staked our lives on believing that. And we do have some measure of hope in that, don't we? But let's be honest. Too often we limit his rescuing ability to the future. It's only for the future. He's our rescuer for the future. But what about now? Hello? What about now? Have you ever thought that Jesus wants to be our present day rescuer? Have you ever thought that in this life of ours, he knows the way out for us when we get confused and we find ourselves in darkness and despair, that he knows the way out, that he wants to be our rescuer? Have you ever thought that Jesus wants to show up in your life right now and say, don't give up. I'll lead you. You can trust me. You can follow me. I won't let you down. Have you ever thought that Jesus could actually speak to you those words in this life? Have you ever thought that Jesus has some specific ways for you to follow that will lead you out of hopelessness? Jesus majors in restoring hope to our soul. Not just hope for the future, but hope right now. Right now. In the Vineyard, we would just say, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Here in this place. Here, right now. Let heaven come to earth. Let heaven invade earth. Let a little bit of heaven invade earth and lead me out of hopelessness. Come, Holy Spirit. We can find a very common description of God in the Bible. It's called shepherd. You remember what David said? The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Why shepherd? Because God sent Jesus for the express purpose of guiding us through this life. This life. He secured our future life. Amen? But he leads us and guides us through this life until we get to the next one. Here's what we do. We're in the middle of our despair and we're in the middle of our hopelessness and our ability to believe things will ever change and that our lives can actually be enjoyable is next to gone. Right? And then we see Jesus coming up the path, right? And Jesus is approaching us, and he has his little headband searchlight on, right? All you can see is this big beam of light, you know, and Jesus has his headlight, you know, his headlamp on. And he says, and he calls out, he says, I found you! Now follow me, and I'll get you out of this dark jungle. And we say, oh, that's okay. I think I'll stay here on this rock and I'll try again tomorrow. Maybe I can get out on my own, you know. And doesn't that sound crazy? I mean, that sounds absolutely crazy. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we resist the help of God in this life? Why do we do that? You know why? Because we don't want to be led. Ouch. We don't want to be led. And so this is important, and I want you to listen very carefully to this. If we want to walk out of hopelessness and into freedom, if we want to experience real life instead of despair, it's not going to come through grit and determination. I'm just going to walk around in this forest until I get out. Kind of sounds like the Israelites. They went round and round and round and round in the wilderness. Why? They refused to be led. I'm just going to walk around in the forest until I get out. And that's really the approach that so many people in life, you know. I'm just going to grit it out. I'm just going to figure it out. I'm determined, you know, and I've got this, I've got it, and I'm going to, motivation, and good luck. You're going to be an old woman or an old man who simply missed out on life. This is so crucial. The life and the freedom that Jesus offers comes through submission and surrender. If you were lost in a jungle and your rescuer comes, don't you think it would be a good idea to give up all of your prideful thoughts that you could find your way out and grab onto their shirt and stay as close as possible to them and say, I'll follow you? Don't you think you would do that? Submission. Surrender. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to get out, but you know, you found me. You're the rescuer. I'm sticking right close to you. I'm not going to let you get out of my sight like I let the others. I want to somehow wrap this up, and then it's rescue time. Amen. If you're lost and you get rescued, something happens to you inside. Are you with me? In an instant, your heart moves from hopeless to hopeful. Now listen, nothing has changed in terms of your circumstances. You hear me? You're still in the jungle, deep. But now you have changed. You have hope in the midst of the jungle, in the midst of life. Why? You have hope because you've surrendered to the person who can lead you out. And so, I had a hard time figuring out how to end this message today. I really did. It was kind of, Lord, how do we do this thing? But I heard from the Lord. There's a couple things that need to happen to us today. One, we need Jesus to come as our rescuer. First of all. Two, we need to see him as our rescuer. Right? And three, we need to understand something. Hope takes place when you're still eclipsed by the darkness of life. Romans chapter 8 says this, it's an interesting verse. It says, but hope that's seen is no hope at all. Who hopes, the Bible says, for what he already has? That's not hope, right? You hope when you're sitting alone and lost on a rock, not when you're surrounded by rescue personnel and paramedics and the flashing lights of vehicles. That's not when you have hope. You have hope when you're still on the rock. See, we have such a misunderstanding of hope and what hope is, and when you get it, you get hope on the front side of the rescue, not the back side, right? Not when you're rescued. You get hope when you're lost. It's kind of ironic, but I think it's so crucial. Jesus doesn't necessarily free us from the jungle itself. Hello? At least not right away. Have you found that out to be true? Right? You're doing life and it's just not really that great. Right now? I said, God help me, come rescue. I need your help. I need your help. And we're like, where are you, God? Where are you? You could come any day and help and rescue me. But see, Jesus, he can and he wants to free us from the hopelessness that we feel in the midst of the jungle. Are you following this? You see, this is what Jesus does in our lives. What Jesus does sometimes in our lives is he finds us in this dark place in life, and then he says to us, you have to stay there in that place for a while, but don't worry. I'll be with you. I'll protect you, and I won't leave you alone. Right? Let me retell a story, and then we'll pray. There's a story told of a man on an African safari. And he's following his guide who had a machete. And the guide's just hacking away at these tall weeds, and they're walking through the forest, and they're following this guy, and he's just hacking away. And they're doing this for hours, just hacking away, and they're following this guy. And finally, the traveler, he's hot, and he's tired, and he's frustrated, and he just stops, and he just asks the guy, he says, where are we? Do you know where you're taking us? I don't see any path here. And the guide stops, and he looks back at the guy, And he says, I am the path. I'm the path. See, we do this all the time with Jesus. All the time. We ask him, where are you taking me? I don't see a way out. I don't see a way forward. I don't see a viable path forward in my life. When do I get a break? This all seems what? Hopeless. And you know what I'm talking about. And we do this all the time. We ask this all the time. We ask Jesus this all the time. And you know what? Even if he did tell us where he was taking us, we'd probably disagree with his rescue plan. I don't like that plan at all. I think that's a terrible way to go. That's a terrible direction to take. Right? Or we would complain that it should have come sooner, God. Oh, thanks for coming now, but you should have been here sooner. And you've never done that. Right? I'm meddling bad today. I'm really mad. This morning I was praying and preparing, and the Lord really shared this insight. For some, the only reason they want Jesus is so he will create a path of constant comfort and pleasant circumstances. That's the only reason they want Jesus. Their prayer life consists of only one prayer. Make my life better, Lord. That's the only prayer they offer. Make my life better. Come, Lord, here. Make it better here. Make it better here. Make it better here. Make it better here. Make my life better. How offensive that must be to Jesus. That's the extent of our prayer. Make my life better. As if all of life revolved around whom? Whom? Us. When you find yourself in some dark, dense place in your life and you're confused and you're uneasy, and when you don't know what to do and where to go and you don't know how to fix your problems, Jesus gives something better than exact coordinates and clear directions. Jesus gives us himself. It's not a trite response. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is all we need. We want Jesus to give us hope by changing the jungle. Jesus wants to restore our hope by giving us himself. You get it? Yeah. Let me say it again, and I'll pray. We want Jesus to give us hope by changing the jungle of life. Jesus wants to restore our hope by giving us himself. He just gives us himself. He says, I'm right here with you. Let's pray. God, Jesus, come and be rescuer today. Be rescuer, Lord, today. Minister deeply by your Spirit right now. In the quietness. approach some people today with your searchlight. And give hope to the hopeless. Restore hope to those that need it. You find yourself in a very dark place or just feeling really hopeless and in a place where you just think, I'll never get out of here, I just invite you to respond just by standing where you're at and let Jesus bring some hope to your life. Let him come to you. I'll never get out of here, you think. I don't know the way out of this one. Let Jesus come to you today. Just stand. Just stand right where you're at. And just say, Lord, I need you. Jesus, I need you to be my rescuer. Just to have some that can pray for those that are responding. I got one up here. The psalmist said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Who needs to put their hope in God today? Who needs to put their hope in Jesus today? Yeah, we have somebody right here. Yeah. Want to make sure everybody gets prayed for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just continue to pray for those that are responding. I just invite the rest of you just to stand this morning, and let's all stand together. Jesus is our rescuer. He is the one we need. He is the one who can help us better than anyone. He is a good shepherd. He's a good guide. He's a good leader. And ours is just the job of letting him lead us and submitting to him. Clinging to his shirt and staying close. Amen. Heavenly Father, let these words not fall on dry, empty ground today. Let these words fall on the rich soil of our souls and let them take root within us, bringing hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great day.